News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on Mobile Mornings. Hopefully we'll connect with Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, here in a moment. He may be calling in. Hopefully he will. Big weekend of college football, including that Ohio State over Penn State game.
Yep.
At
Happy Valley.
Yeah, started at 11 o'clock in the morning and was really maybe the biggest game in the nation.
Excuse me. Yeah, there were a couple big games out there. And then a couple teams that just look unbelievably unbeatable right now that maybe have had losses. I mean, Ole Miss and Georgia coming up this week, that'll be fun. But we'll save that for our football conversation with Jim and Feinbaum later this week because, of course, there's an election tomorrow, and it's a big one. Looks like the final day of – well, the final full day of campaigning before tomorrow. You have Trump on the East Coast. He'll be in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and then Macon, Georgia. And I'm not sure in what order he'll be visiting those places. Harris will be hitting the blue wall. She'll be making stops actually just throughout Michigan today, it looks like. Detroit, Pontiac, East Lansing. Vance, RFK, and Trump Jr. will all be holding events. Not sure where they'll be. Also, President Obama. Vice President candidate Tim Walz and Jill Biden stumping for the Harris campaign today as well. So it's that time. Yeah, final moments right
there.
Here.
We're there. Quickly to the text line about me getting stung. And I don't know how many stung me. I don't know how, you know, I don't know.
We need a full accounting.
And so we'll have to count the welts. But it's not, they're really not popping up like welts just yet. Maybe they will later. But when I got home, there were still two bees within my clothing.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was a 15-minute walk from where, I guess call it a nest or whatever was in the ground, where suddenly they were on me and I didn't even know it. And then when I figured out, my God, these are
yellow jackets, right?
I think yellow jackets, yeah. On the text line, yellow jacket attacks plenty of times while on a tractor.
Oh.
He said, find the nest and then pour gasoline on it. Yeah, I'm not doing that. It wasn't, you know, it was just a little nature kind of thoroughfare in Spring Hill. They can deal with all that.
Yeah, if they saw you walking out there with a tank of gas, they'd think you were doing something a little crazy, probably.
Be like that guy that got, I'd spend four nights in Metro, like the guy with the $100
with the
bills. Also, unnamed texter, when I was 5 years old, I got stung about 12 times, believe it was before the Benadryl days.
Oh, yeah, man.
So I'm loading up on Benadryl.
Yeah, you are sponsored by Benadryl today.
The show is, yeah. Brian in Mobile says, I work for the tree company, tree service, in my 20s and was 40 feet in the pine tree and got into a hornet's nest and was stung 9 times. I don't, you know,
up the tree.
If you're up the tree, you can't defend yourself at all.
No.
About 20 years ago, Shane says, I thought it would be a great idea. Now, the one guy said, go ahead and pour gas on him.
In the hole.
He said, I thought it'd be a great idea to do that. How'd it work out, you ask? Not good, he said. 2 days in the hospital. So that's what somebody, I went to a store. You know, I get in the shower and then I realize there's still two bees on my body.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what their deal was. What they were all
already hanging around.
They're hanging around. I mean, hanging. Yeah. So anyway, I go to Dollar General to get some Benadryl, and the ladies there were saying, you might need to just go to the hospital.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I don't feel that bad. I mean, I feel hurt from the stings, but that's about it. But you say that people do, and this guy right here, two days in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. There have been people that have died. Now, I don't know if it's just from, you know, yellow jackets, but you get enough of those. Or what are those massive ones? Are the African honeybees or something? What's the one that you're just like, I don't know if I could take two of those stings.
Wow.
But there's some, the closest I've been to this is just, you know, when I was much younger and push mowing. And inadvertently ran over a fire ant hill, and then they shot. I was wearing like some loose athletic long pants, and that, like where you zip and unzip the very bottom of them.
Yeah.
So all the fire ants were shot from the push mower
into the pants,
into my pants.
Wow.
So I did have ants in my pants.
Well, at first I thought fire ants probably, you know, but it was then when they started to move up the body and start stinging the back of my head. I was like, no.
That's not
fire ants don't know that trick.
How about this texture? Very funny. Says, Dalton, the good friend would strip him down and count the whelps. Yeah, I won't be doing. I told Dan, I said, I'll count them from your ankles to your knees, and
well,
that's about it.
It's almost.
And I don't even want to do that, honestly.
Well, yeah, I know. It'd be a little uncomfortable with all that. But, yeah, they basically in the area that was exposed, I was wearing shorts and running shoes. So mm-hmm. from my ankles up to past my kneecap, onto my thigh and that kind of area. And, but like I said, two were somewhere in my clothing when I got home. So it was crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, they're all going crazy over the election, man. That's these. There's unease in the United States, and that carries all the way down to
the bees.
To the bees, yeah, to the election. So this texter says, yeah, you have to pour the gas on the nest at night when they're all in the nest. That's a smart idea. Pat says, you definitely should have went to at least get a steroid shot, saying that might have helped you out a little after the stings
well,
yesterday.
Well, I mean, I went to the urgent care, and they didn't offer one.
So. Oh, that's the place to get it. Yeah. Jimmy Baymanette says that I'm talking about a murder hornet. That's right, the murder hornets. That look, I mean, it's in the name, right? It's right yeah. there. You don't want to mess with those. Well, that does not sound fun, like you had a fun weekend at all.
Yeah, well, I had a fun weekend.
Fun Sunday morning. You know.
Sunday morning into Sunday afternoon into Sunday night. A little bit on the miserable side.
Yeah, but, I bet. Interesting, as we get into this election talk, and we'd love to hear from you, 251-343-0106. I just thought this was notable. Sometimes you kind of take a step back and look at, you know, other perspectives, I guess, is a good way to say that. My daughter yesterday, as I was prepping for today's show, and I'm going through all the different news stories, and of course, you know, I had Trump up on the screen because the story I was reading was about Trump and his campaign. And she comes into the kitchen, and she's sitting on my knee.
5 years old.
5 years old. And I don't know why I hadn't asked her before or anything. And I said, hey, do you know who that is? It was a picture of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, nope. And I said, wow. And I played a video of him. I said, now do you know who it is? She's like, nope, never seen him. I said, do you know the name Donald Trump? And she's like, nope. And
no kidding.
And then I tried the same thing with Kamala, and of course she didn't know who Kamala was either, didn't recognize her. So keep that in mind, and I know she's only five, and that it is, you know, as a grown adult, it's good to know what's going on in the world. But this election isn't everything to everybody, although she doesn't know the ramifications it might have on her life moving forward,
true,
right? But
true.
She's in a much better mental place than I would say. Both of us, but 99% of America right now. And it's just a good thing. I was like, I'm glad she doesn't know who. She's five. She doesn't need to know who's running for president, right?
And the Democrats, you know, their strategy certainly down the stretch run, I guess it's first the Republicans or Vance were weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you thought that wasn't enough, their strategy over the last, I would say the 2 weeks that the rhetoric changed from just all hope and joy or whatever she was experiencing at the
campaign
at
of the, joy
at the, at the convention, it just turned really nasty on Trump and the words that they're using and the specific ramifications of his election, according to them, mm-hmm. are so frightening. And there's a lot of voices saying things that are really would frighten a lot of people and frighten them out of ever voting for Republicans, including Trump. I don't remember it being that bad in the past. I could be wrong, and I could be reminded about that. But these campaigns have got this, you know, they jump on one thing and then that's what they're going to do. Well, right to the end, what they're saying is you cannot vote for Donald Trump because of A, B, and C.
Yeah.
You cannot. Donald Trump is this. Donald Trump's actions will be this. He's got a list of people he wants to take out.
Yeah. I don't, you know, when conservatives talk about liberals voting for Kamala or whoever, I'm sure that they've said some bad things, you know, and said it publicly. But for the most part, I think conservatives say you're an idiot if you're voting for her. When the people that are voting for her go after Trump supporters, they say you're a murderer. You might as well. He's a rapist. He's a convicted. And so they think you're an absolutely horrible person. Not all of them, but I'm seeing more and more videos. Even the Will Ferrell endorsement, right? And that, of course, you knew who Will Ferrell preferred in this. He just had a Netflix documentary come out about, I guess, a former SNL writer who transitioned, went trans, and it's Will Ferrell traveling around with this old friend of his, an SNL writer, saying, oh, look, trans isn't bad, and you're a bigot if you think it is. Just kind of a weird documentary that just came out. And he's supporting Kamala, but he was doing that exact thing. He said, hey, Gary, and he's, you know, some fictional person that he's talking to. If you don't vote, Gary, this is on you that Trump is president. This is all your fault if you don't get out and vote. It's like they're telling people they're going to ostracize. Like, you're out of the community if you vote for Trump, right?
And out in L.A., two things I've been hearing. What, who is Richards, the lady that's probably in her 50s now, very attractive lady, fitness guru?
Oh, Denise Richards?
Is that her?
Is that she the one that was with Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, she was on a podcast I was watching, the Rubin Report, and she was talking about the fact that a lot of people that I'm finding online have slowly transitioned to being conservative and even Trump supporters through time and through a greater awareness of what's going on. But she said when she talks to her friends in L.A., now she's out as a Trump supporter, when they bring it up, she said, well, let me explain to you my thinking and the way I've come to this conclusion. And she says, every one of them will simply say, no, I don't want to know. I don't want to hear the argument that she's not even given the credit or the time to go ahead and explain herself, because consuming the news that they consume, it's completely just, unthinkable that you would vote for Trump.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's Denise Richards you're talking about. I'll have to try to figure out who that is. Nothing came up when I searched for her there. But, yeah, that's interesting. And you know, we'll tomorrow just come down to seven swing states. And there's been so many early votes already cast. Washington Post says so far, right now, 77.3 million votes have been cast. So I was looking back at the 2020 election and the final numbers there.
Was there about 160 million?
It was almost 160 million total, 158 million. They said 81 million voted for Biden and 74.2 million for Trump. So we've already seen 77 million votes. It makes it interesting to me, you know, how do they continue to poll now with so many votes already cast? And things
are
looking
good. That's a good point.
In those early voting numbers, much better for the Republicans than they did in 2020. Sounds to me like he's really done a good job of locking down at least Arizona. North Carolina's tighter, but I think he's got that, and Georgia, and the blue wall. If Trump's able to pull off those three and Nevada, then she's going to have to sweep the blue wall, and those numbers are tight too. So it's tough to tell and rely on any kind of polling, but I think the momentum the last 3 weeks has been with Trump until maybe late last week things start slowing down for him a little bit.
Well, and think about this, that somebody, a big guy, they didn't say who it was, somebody in mainstream media, I guess you could say, which obviously leans left and tells a different portrayal of the candidates, he was saying if Trump wins this election, that simply means that
legacy media is dead.
It's dead.
Yeah.
He said because, you know, they're trying to warn America because they think it's in our best interest. At the same time, of course, they're totally distorting conservatives and or Trump and or Vance at the same time. But they think they're doing it for the right reason. So if you're consuming your news that way, I kind of can't blame you personally for voting Democrat because you the way the story's been told to you, you really have no choice.
Well, Biden hit the campaign trail again and again had another viral moment we'll get to here in a little bit. And also Fetterman on with Rogan.
Yes.
I've got a clip from that about the border and illegal immigrant voters you'll want to hear. Plus, Caroline Dobson joins us after 8:30. That's all coming up on Mobile Mornings.
8:24, I'm reminded on the text line by several of you that it's Julian Michaels.
Jillian.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Jillian Michaels is the guru, the fitness guru that I heard on the Rubin Report talking about how friends are not all gathered around her now. And even when she just wants to make conversation about her views to a person, they're all saying, no, I don't want to, I can't imagine, I don't want to listen to you.
So she either wants you to work out really hard or talk politics. It's Jillian Michaels.
Yeah, she's She's exercising the people when she brings up Trump because they're all running so fast.
Running away from her in L.A. And also some folks pointing out it's anaphylactic shock. If you're allergic or if you have some issue and you get stung like you did, some folks have been known to go into anaphylactic shock and even die after that. So there's that. We were talking last week,
I think I got stung enough where that could have happened.
I think it could have.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of stings there.
Yeah.
So we were talking Rogan, the Joe Rogan Experience last week when Trump went on. And then Vance, the Republican VP candidate, went on as well. Kamala's team said that she would go on, and they said, well, no, this is, our schedule doesn't really line up. We're not going to do it. So John Fetterman, the Pennsylvania senator, ends up going on Rogan. And, I enjoy, after his health scare, of course, things got kind of weird for Fetterman, and I didn't think he should have won that election. I mean, he could barely talk. But since he's kind of coming to his own, I've enjoyed hearing his viewpoint on things.
Mm. It's not always straight down the line Democrat that you would think.
It isn't. But Rogan started kind of quizzing him a little bit on the border and illegal immigration, and Fetterman had some trouble with it. And I think this is why Democrats won't go on a show like this.
There's a significant number of these people that are illegal immigrants that have made their way to swing states. And then there's been calls for amnesty. There's been calls for allowing these people to have a pathway to citizenship and allow them to vote. The fear that a lot of people have is that this is a coordinated effort to take these people that you're allowing to come into the country, then you're providing them with all sorts of services like food stamps and housing and setting them up, then providing a pathway to amnesty, and then you would have voters that would be significantly voting towards the Democrats because they're the people that enabled them to come into the country in the first place and provided them with those services. This is a big fear that people have, and that you're rigging this system and that this will turn all these states into essentially locked blue like California is.
Well, immigration is always going to be a tough issue in our nation. You know, I had as a professor in grad school, Alan Simpson, and he was a United States Senator. He was Wyoming, and he was actually a pro-choice Republican. I mean, how rare that would be. Well, it doesn't exist now. And he said, "You are never going to have any meaningful immigration kinds of legislation." He's like, because both side, that's useful for them, and it's going to be back and forth. And he said that 25 years ago.
Useful meaning the debate, having it always
it's useful
point
for one side or the other. It's useful. And he said, there were never going to be. And he said that in 1999. Mm-hmm. And I voted for the border deal, and that went down. And he said that 25 years ago, and that was absolutely true now, that they had an opportunity to do a comprehensive border, bipartisan, and that went down because Trump, he declared that's a bad deal after it was negotiated with the other side.
But didn't that deal also involve amnesty? And didn't that deal also involve a significant number of illegal aliens being allowed into the country every year? I think it was 2 million people. It was still the same sort of situation, and their fear is exactly what I talked about, that these people will be moved to swing states, and that will be used to essentially rig those states and turn them blue forever.
I'm not really sure if that's what's in play. I think it's really like it's important that we have an honest conversation.
But doesn't that seem logical though? If you have a significant number of people that are being moved into swing states that have come across the border illegally, and then you've provided them with all these services, you provided them with food stamps, EBT, you've provided them with housing. You could, if you gave those people amnesty and allowed those people to vote, and it was very organized, you're talking about 75,000 votes over a few counties that switched everything over to the Republicans. You see how you import 10.
He really didn't have an answer for that, Fetterman. It kind of shows why I thought that Kamala wouldn't go on, right?
Yeah.
Walls.
Yeah. She had no. There was no reason for her to go on a podcast and answer questions and not even know where the end of the interview was.
Right.
And that's how Rogan does his thing right there. from Dan Brennan, Dalton Rowick, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:35 on Mobile Mornings. The morning before Election Day tomorrow. Of course, you know we'll be here in the morning, but also bonus coverage will be here also tomorrow night.
That's the plan.
That is the plan. Which means Wednesday's show could be really bad.
Yeah. I don't think so.
It'll be up so late.
It'll be interesting. And I was telling my wife over the weekend, I said there are going to be a lot of very upset people no matter which way the presidential election goes. But also, it's a, you know, there's a lot. I was surprised looking at the sample ballots. There's a lot going on these ballots, but not a lot to vote on, if that makes sense. There's so many unopposed races wherever you're getting your ballot, whether you're in Baldwin County or Mobile County, and then even which part of the county you're in can determine which kind of ballot you get. But of course, with the presidential race at the top of the ticket, if you're in District 1, which makes up Baldwin County for the most part, and part of Mobile County, then you'll have either Barry Moore or Tom Holmes on the ticket for AL1. If you're in District 2, you'll have either Caroline Dobson or Shamari Figures on the ticket. And then a whole bunch of unopposed election races as well. Mobile County Commission, all three commissioners running unopposed. You have boards of education that'll be up there. And then maybe most notably, outside of the actual races here, if you're in Mobile County, you'll vote on pay-as-you-go. 20th time, that's up for renewal on the ballot that allocates funds to road and bridge projects. And then Baldwin County voters will have three separate votes on landmark districts, which has been done before, and they're looking to do it again with, let's see, a landmark district in Bon Secours, south of Magnolia Springs, White House Fork near Bay Minette, and Stapleton, north of Spanish Fort. So we'll talk more about that, especially as we head into tomorrow. But on the line with us right now is the Republican candidate for AL2, Caroline Dobson. Good morning, Caroline.
Hi, good morning. How are y'all doing?
Doing fine. How have you been? Because I know you've been traveling. I know you've been really busy, and I know that you're doing everything in your power to win this race.
Yes, no, it's been such a privilege because folks have been so generous with their time and letting me listen to them, and that's what's been the true blessing of this campaign. We have such wonderful people in this district, and it's been a privilege to get to know so many of them, and I would love the opportunity to represent them in Washington. So, yes, we've been running all over the place this past week trying to hit every county one last time, had a big rally in Montgomery last night, headed down to Mobile this morning, and then we'll have a campaign rally in Monroe County, where I'm from, not far from where you're from, tonight.
Mm-hmm. You know, I watched some of the Shamari Figures ads here recently, so congratulations on being a cabillionaire or whatever you are. And so lunch is on you, Caroline. Sorry, Dalton and I, we've seen the Shamari Figures commercials. We're sure they're highly accurate.
Yes, no, I mean, especially when, you know, he's been fact-checked and he's actually worth three times what I am, you know, somehow on a government salary.
Yeah.
Amazing
how that works.
That tells you. Yep. Right. It tells you exactly what you need to know about, you know, the caliber of the candidates, too. You know, if you're willing to lie in a campaign ad, what does that look like when you're representing or supposedly representing the people of this district?
Yeah, and I want to get into some of how your policies differ from your opponents, but I did want to ask Governor Ivey last night at that event. I understand she's doing all right now, but her office saying maybe got a little dehydrated, but does everything seem fine with the governor? I know she's come out to support you numerous times over the last few months.
Yes, and I'm so grateful for her example and her encouragement. I've known her my whole life and looked up to her. She's a wonderful example of a woman, a strong woman who has been truly a servant all of her life. Before she even entered public service, she was a teacher, an educator, so have so much admiration for her. But yes, her chief of staff assured me last night that she was back home and doing well, and I think she just got a little dehydrated last night. It's been so hot and dry here recently, that it's highly possible to have a dehydration episode in November seems bizarre, but it's been 85 degrees every day, so...
Well, glad to hear that. Now, as far as endorsements, you know, Ivy's endorsed you. You've had some big-name endorsements come down. So has your opponent. And he's kind of been Well, he's been utilizing those this last week. You had the former President Barack Obama, who officially endorsed Shamari Figures. We've seen Hakeem Jeffries come down and actually campaign for Figures. So has Eric Holder. Does this tie into what you've been saying about Shamari Figures and his time in D.C. And where he's worked?
Oh, exactly. Look, you know, when the race tightens, who does he call in? His rescue team from the Washington Insider, class of folks, I spent the last week of the campaign, again, trying to hear from as many voters as I could and not walk around with a lot of pseudo celebrities. That's how I want to lead, is to be the voice of the people in this district. And I think it comes down to, me, a candidate who is living and working in Alabama. I'm raising my kids alongside all of you here in Alabama. I'm very much invested in the future of this district and ensuring that we're being good stewards of our resources and opportunities and instilling our next generation with the tools that they need to succeed. Versus someone who spent their entire adult career in Washington, D.C., and when push comes to shove, that's who they turn to. The biggest endorsement I could get is the endorsement of the people of this district. And I'm so grateful to have some incredible endorsements, so grateful for Senator Britt's endorsement, Senator Tupperville's endorsement, for the endorsement of the only sheriffs that have endorsed in the district have endorsed me. And so I'm very grateful for those. But again, at the end of the day, the endorsement of the people of this district means a lot more than, some Washington insiders.
You know, this district is laid out in such a way, it's a pretty challenging district to campaign and be able to touch all the people, all the citizens, all the constituents that you will have if you're a winner. What has that travel meant to you? How the experiences in this big, long district changed you?
Oh my goodness. I've been so inspired and frankly encouraged. Running for office for the first time, I had a lot of people say, I admire you for putting yourself out there, but man, you're going to be jaded by the time this is over and disillusioned, and you're just, this is going to be a disappointing experience. Politics is going to, really put a bad taste in your mouth. But really, the opposite has happened. In the campaign ad space, don't like lies being spread about me. But other than that, actually visiting with people throughout this district in large cities and small communities, I'm so encouraged because there are so many people that are engaged, that are active, that are participating. People on both sides of the aisle that are working hard to make their communities better, seeing needs and taking action to try to meet those needs. And I just, on a daily basis, I'm blessed by an encounter with many people that are doing such great things. And so we truly have a lot to be proud of and a lot to be thankful for here in this district. But we've got to have federal policies that are not crushing our economy, that are bringing down inflation, that are making our community safer. And the people of this district deserve someone who's going to fight for that.
We're talking with Caroline Dobson, the GOP candidate for Alabama Congressional District 2, and we're on the eve of the election here, of course. And Caroline, polling places, election officials, poll watchers, those are all a huge deal, especially in the swing states, right, as everyone looks towards the presidential election. In Alabama, we haven't, outside of extremely local races, we're not used to seeing tight races like the one you're in here with Shamari Figures. And with that, maybe comes a little more focus on what these polling places look like. And I know that the DOJ made an announcement that they were going to have monitors patrolling voting here. And I know you and your campaign had kind of a response to this. Explain what this is about, that the DOJ, what they're going to have, election poll watchers, or what are they doing there?
Yes, they've decided that there are, they need monitors for this district. And they tried to do the same thing in Florida as well, and some other states, but it's really insulting to the probate judges, to the circuit clerks in this district. I met so many of them. They work hard to do a fantastic job. To our board of registrars, the unsung heroes of fair elections, So, you know, again, this is just another example of Washington insider federal government swooping in to create a photo op. And again, you know, especially in this case, my opponent was part of the Department of Justice for about 3 years. So these are his former colleagues coming down to ostensibly monitor an election impartially when they were colleagues of one. And that's the definition of a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
But we're very grateful for many poll workers and poll watchers that have stepped forward and are going to be, you know, doing above and beyond their civic duty tomorrow to make sure that the elections are fair despite the efforts of the Department of Justice.
Couple of states where it's not allowed, right, Dalton?
Yeah, I think a couple of states, including Florida, told them to buzz
Florida
off,
and Texas.
Basically, yeah, that they could stay out. So the interesting kind of division there. Caroline, with I've seen so many supporters of yours, I've seen the signs, a lot of folks fired up about tomorrow. What's kind of your last pitch here to the listeners at FM Talk? And you may come on again before the polls close tomorrow, but what's kind of your last pitch here these last few hours?
Look, yeah, I'm running to make life better for Alabama families. I got in this race as a working mom with no political experience, and I just want to say thanks to everyone listening because I would not be here today without all the love and support and prayers and encouragement of so many folks, especially so many folks in Mobile. We are going to win, but it's going to take every single one of us. Turnout is key in this race, so please, if you don't have a plan for voting, make one. Text your friend, try to text 10, 15, 20 friends, make sure they're going out to vote. And then if you know someone who's, you know, they're having issues getting around, offer to drive them to the polls. You know, that's going to make every single vote is going to count in this race. And that's not just the future of who's representing Mobile, not just who's ensuring that we continue on this path of prosperity and opportunity, but also control of the U.S. House of Representatives rides on this race. So the path to controlling the House runs right through Mobile and District 2.
And quickly, Caroline, so many people have voted across the country. Already 80 million have registered?
Yeah, about 77
million have voted.
Yeah.
Do you get a sense that that's maybe the same percentage in this district, or would the turnout be lower pre-election and probably larger on Election Day itself?
You know, we've heard that there certainly have been much higher, you know, absentee in-person votes cast in this election than there were in 2020. I'm not sure if it exactly tracks what we're seeing nationally, but I've certainly heard that there have been a lot of people that have, you know, decided to go ahead and vote absentee in person or mail an absentee ballot because, you know, they're concerned that they may not be in town, that they may have some conflict on Election Day. And I think it's good that people are being proactive about making sure that they exercise the most sacred right of U.S. citizenship, and that's the right to vote.
Mm-hmm. Caroline, I really appreciate your time this morning. I know you have a busy 24 to 36, 48 hours here ahead of you. So we thank you for coming on with us today.
No, thank you. And it's been a privilege getting to know both of you. You are examples of those folks who stepped up to meet needs, whether it's tornado cleanup or all the many wonderful things that you do for the community. So thanks, Dan and Dalton, for all you
do. That's why they get this microphone about 3 inches from my nose, so we can instruct people and let them know that we're on their side in the hardest of times. Thanks again for spending your time with us. We appreciate it a lot. And where can people find out more about your campaign, Caroline?
You can check out DobsonForCongress.com. We'll also be having a watch party tomorrow night at Fort Whiting in Mobile. So I would love for you to join us.
Thank you now. And maybe we'll see you there, okay?
All right.
Sounds great.
Bye-bye.
Caroline Dobson, GOP candidate, AL2. And coming back, we'll wrap up the show right here on Mobile Mornings. 251-343-0106 if you want to get on the text line.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with a slight chance of a shower. High temperatures this afternoon will be in the lower 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 60s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a slight chance of a shower and highs in the lower 80s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
There was some political outrage after Kamala Harris appeared on Saturday Night Live in a quick skit where she's talking to herself in the mirror. Is that what's going on?
That's right. Herself being played by Maya Rudolph.
Yep. And I don't think the reviews are not great. But in any event, the outrage was, hey, man, that's...
equal time.
We have voter interference, I guess you would say. And Trump did appear on NBC yesterday at a NASCAR race.
Okay, so they evened it up.
Yeah. Huh?
And then, you know, I was hearing Friday that they had pulled Joe Biden is off the campaign trail. I repeat, Joe Biden is off the campaign trail after the, oh, what was the slip up last week? The garbage comment, right?
Yeah.
The one time they let him out and he does the garbage comment. So they said, no more, Joe Biden. You're officially sidelined. But I don't know if he like snuck around or how he ended up on a stage talking in a Pennsylvania rally for Kamala.
He did.
But he did it again.
There's one more thing Trump and his Republican friends want to do. They want another giant tax cut for the wealthy. Now, I know some of you guys are tempted to think it's macho guy. I'll tell you what, man. When I was in Scranton, we used to have a little trouble going down the plot once in a while. From Green Ridge. But I'm serious. These are the kind of guys you like to smack in the ass.
Let's hear it again.
These are the kind of guys you like to smack in the ass.
You smack a running back in the ass after he scored a touchdown, don't you? That's kind of a guy thing to do. Like, way to go!
Sure. It's a guy thing to do, I guess. But Biden, they let him out again, or maybe this time they didn't let him out. And he gets the, want to smack these guys in the ass, goes viral. Trump going viral because, well, he was at a rally last night. And he was talking, you know, off the cuff kind of stuff here and reliving the shooting when he was shot at. And he's looking at the bulletproof glass that kind of surrounds him. And he notes, you know, if they were to shoot me right now, they would have to shoot through the press. So expect to hear a lot about this today. And I know you were hearing about it yesterday.
Yeah.
I have a piece of glass over here. And I don't have a piece of glass there. And I have this piece of glass here. But all we have really over here is the fake news, right? And to get me, somebody would have to shoot through the fake news. And I don't mind that so much.
Expect that to be talked about a lot today. They'll say last week he was
outrage.
Last week he was calling for Liz Cheney to be killed by a firing squad, and now he's calling for the fake news to get shot as someone's attempting to take his life.
How much is that going to play on CNN today and MSNBC?
I don't know. I bet it's playing quite a bit already.
I think it is, yeah.
I imagine it is. And
they're not going to leave that layup alone. They're going to... And again, they're going to make it sound like it was the worst thing you could possibly say. Obviously, it was a joke.
So we've got interviews all through today. Jeff, he has great guests lined up. He'll have Shane Stringer on in hour number one. Scott Stathagen, the House Majority Leader, in hour number two. Also, Congressman Robert Atterholt and Dale Jackson in hour three.
Wow.
Sean Sullivan with Midday. We'll have some great interviews and get you ready for tomorrow. And then tomorrow morning, just like we've done every Election Tuesday that we've had, starting at 7 a.m., let us know what your polling place is looking like. Does it look like more people are showing up or fewer than usual? It's crazy that over 77 million votes nationwide have already been cast.
It's amazing.
So it's more
but
than...
we've hit 100 in the past?
Have we hit, what, 100?
Voting before the election day.
100 million. We've never hit... You know, 2020, they had that listed here on the Washington Post site.
For
2020, they hit 100 million.
Yeah.
103 million before Election Day. We're at 77 million now. So we'll see. Early voting not happening as much in Alabama, obviously, mostly just absentee. But tomorrow, it'll be all about you and us, 251-343-0106, as we get ready to vote. Leo says, why does Mobile County need to have a bond voted in for roads and bridges? Where did our gas tax money go to? You know, Leo, I never really knew a whole lot about the pay-as-you-go program. Lanyap, about 3 weeks ago, four weeks ago, did a really good deep dive into how that began and what exactly it does. not saying that you'll vote for it or against it after reading that, but it's something that you'll learn a lot about how that program began.
Yeah, go ahead and do that, Leo. Like we said, maybe 3 weeks ago, the Lanyap, and I'm sure they've got those stories stored in there. If you are a Lanyap online subscriber, you can just kind of Google it, look for it, and I think it'll come up. Jeff Poore on the way next.